Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Hello, hello, hello. I'm so happy to be here. I wasn't here last Monday because I had a virus, and I've just actually yesterday got my voice back, and it's a little funny, but it's not too bad. But there's a virus going around right now that's pretty nasty. It gives you a fever, starts in your head, can go down into your chest, and it's not much fun, and total exhaustion, but it's not COVID. It's something new, and it's going around, and unfortunately, my husband caught it, and then I caught it. Excuse me. But I'm here. I'm thrilled to be here. With the state of the world and so much secular stuff out there, it's just so wonderful to be able to tune into this network and hear joy and hope and all the wonderful things that come with being a follower of Jesus. So I just want to welcome you. I pray that you'll be able to hang in here with me for this hour, and I hope that it's interesting and encourages you. May the Lord bless our time together today. First of all, I'd like to say Happy Easter again, because we're in the Easter season. We Catholics, if any of you are listening who are not Catholic, we Catholics start our Easter season on Easter Day, and it goes for 50 days from Easter to the Feast of Pentecost, where the church, the apostles, and the followers of Jesus received the Holy Spirit. I just want to wish you a happy Easter. I pray that you are enjoying this time. And it is a time of celebrations, of extra prayer, lots of thanksgiving, and joy. Joy, joy, joy. Because we have the Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who conquered suffering and death. Not only then, but even now in our suffering and at our deaths, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. And we are so blessed that we don't have to fear death and what comes after anymore, because we have a loving, wonderful Savior. Anyway, I want to thank you all for your donations and for your prayers and everything for our Wake Up America dinner event yesterday. Kathleen spoke and Mark Houck spoke, and the place was filled to capacity. We had wonderful raffle items, and I forget what it's called when you bid on things and you win. A lot of beautiful things, and some simple, some elaborate, really a lot of fun. Everyone was so happy, and it was just a really wonderful event. And if you couldn't make it this year, I really encourage you to try to make it next year. It's reasonably priced, and the funds go towards the radio station network, and you help fight all of the negativity that's out there, and fill it with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, instead. And it's really a real, real privilege and blessing to be a part of this, and I thank God for it. He pulled a fast one on me. I wasn't expecting anything like this, but I know that He has called me. I trust Kathleen and her judgment. I trust all of the different things that happened to me, but it's not about me. It's about Him. It's all about Jesus Christ, and I just thank God for that. Anyway, thank you again for all of your donations with to keep us going, and for your prayers. Speaking of Thanksgiving and celebrations, I don't know about you, but I absolutely love this time of year. It's like everything has woken up and has become new right when Easter is coming. It's like Jesus is resurrected and the whole world wakes up. I have a new puppy. We've had her about 3 months. And she's the cutest little thing. She's only like 6 months old and she weighs just under 4 pounds. She'll get bigger than that, but she's a little munchkin. And I took her out on Easter morning and the birds were singing, in my mind, alleluias. I mean, I hadn't heard them singing so boldly and so loudly and so many of them yet this spring. So it was really lovely to go out and hear that and to look around and see the greenery and it lifts our spirits. There's a reason that there's a term called spring fever. We all wake up and we're all say, "Hey, I'm alive. This is wonderful," and the world is too. So we celebrate spring in the Easter season, and I love it. I love it. I'm sure you do too. I don't know about you, but I have been praying very deeply and devoutly for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the whole world, every person, every nation. And I pray every time there's a major holiday, especially Christmas and Easter, I always pray extra hard because those are the times when a lot of people, even people who don't know much about Jesus or the church or anything, their minds kind of remember someone in their childhood or going to church when they were children. And they kind of long for those days when things were simpler and there were simple joys in just being together and going to church together, regardless of how deep your relationship with God was or whatever. And people get a little nostalgic in those holidays, and they long for sometimes that they had when they were younger, and they go back to church for that holiday, and what they experienced as children or young people still exists today. It's still a wonderful place to be, and I always pray that while they're there, that along with the people who attend church on a regular basis, I always pray that those visiting or curious or returning because of old memories will hear something or experience something there that will draw them back to worship and to the church. Because, we were made in the image and likeness of God, and we have a hole in our heart that only He can fill. And He created the community of the church for a reason. We need each other. We support each other. We learn together. We grow together. It's a wonderful family. It's called the body of Christ. There are some feet and some hands and some lungs and some mouths and some brains and some, Jesus is the head, but the rest of us are the body. We're all connected. And it's just such a wonderful thing that I always pray that the Holy Spirit will be poured out in an extraordinary way during these holidays. I always pray it, but especially in those holidays, and that people will come back, even if it's only for one day, to get some grace to keep them going. So anyway, I believe that those of us who've been praying for that have had our prayers answered in quite a remarkable way this Easter. I don't know if you've been checking Catholic and Christian news, but I want to share with you some of the news that I have heard, because we don't hear this on a regular basis. We don't hear the good news about church, about Jesus, about believers, about seekers. We don't hear that on a regular basis. It's like everybody's focusing on what's wrong instead of what's right. So I really urge you to check out Catholic media sources online. The National Catholic Register, Aletheia, A New Advent. I mean, there's thousands of them, okay? And, of course, the Hallow app is awesome. But if you really want to know some good news, you know, sprinkled in with the concerns of today, check out Catholic media. It's really, printed media, I should say, written media. And then you'll, and YouTube, all right? So anyway, I wanted to share with you some things that I found out. It all started with a report that I heard about all of these Muslim people in France. An extraordinary number of Muslim people in France have converted to the Christian faith through the Catholic Church this Easter. And they interviewed them, and the process of becoming Catholic, especially for someone that has no experience with or very little experience with Christianity, it's a process, because the church wants you to know what you believe, wants you to know that it's all about Jesus Christ and that community that he builds within it. It's not just a me and Jesus experience. It's about community and about the will of God and the word of God. And so to move from being Muslim to being Christian is one thing. And then there's the Catholic Church on top of that. So they interviewed a lot of these people, and some of them, for instance, this one woman from Algeria, she had a curiosity about Christianity for many years, and it just kept pulling at her heart and pulling at her heart. And her family, she had two or three children, and her family saw that she was moving away, a little wishy-washy on her Muslim faith, and it really concerned them, so they started an intervention. And she hadn't even moved into Christianity yet. She was just curious, but she really felt it in her heart. And her family started an intervention and all this sort of thing, and wanted to protect her from Christianity, but she knew in her heart something was going on there. So she actually took her children and ran away to France to escape her family and the Muslim faith in Algeria, until she could decide for herself what was truth. And when she got to France, she started looking into it. And you know, France is not all that religious anymore. But she was determined, and she found the right people, and she joined the church this year at Easter and is extremely happy and committed to Jesus Christ. And so this is happening in many, many areas. And in France, it's a phenomenal thing that happened this year. So in the midst of the lack of faith amongst the French people, there's an uprising of Muslim converts, and they're not just seeking asylum there for ulterior motives. They are true Christians, and I'm sure there's some there that are not, but these people they have been proven to be very faithful and full of joy. And I started looking into things. There are, in France, Okay. Oh, in Europe in general, they have they've had a record number of young people ages 18 to 25 come into the church this year at Easter. A huge number, like 38%, came into the church over what has come in over the last 10 years, 38% higher. And then others besides, 26 through 35, who weren't the Muslims, the others, 50% increase. So the Spirit is working in profound ways. I heard, I guess a year ago, that there was this spiritual awakening, Christian spiritual awakening happening in France. And it was just a little byline thing. But boy, oh boy, is it growing. It is growing, growing, growing. They had record numbers of people in church, in the Catholic Church, for Mass on Easter Sunday and during the whole Easter weekend. It's a phenomenal thing. And then at Westminster Cathedral, the Mother Church of Catholics in England and Wales, of all places, it seats 3,000, at least 3,000 people, plus standing room around there, okay? At their Good Friday liturgy. Good Friday, not even the Easter liturgy. That Mass was filled to capacity, including standing room, and they turned away hundreds of people because they couldn't fit them in there. That hasn't happened in years. Hundreds of people on Good Friday. And then the Easter Vigil Mass, the one that happens on Saturday night to introduce the Easter holiday, it happens at night in the dark, and sometimes it runs typically 2 hours. Sometimes it runs 3 hours or more. The same thing happened. It was filled to the rim with people, and they had to turn hundreds away again for the Easter Vigil. If that's not the Holy Spirit doing remarkable things, I don't know what is. One man that was interviewed there, he said that, you know, it was full on Easter Sunday, and he couldn't get in on Easter Sunday, and so he walked 2 miles down the road to another Catholic church, and it was almost full by the time he got there, too. And by the time Mass started, it was the same thing. People were being turned away. Apparently, this happened all over France. Not everywhere, but in many places in France, many places in England, and other nations in Europe. So, you know, that same man said, and he was interviewed and he says, it's like everybody is becoming Catholic. This is the first time since my baptism in 2006 where it seems there is a flood of new converts into the Holy Catholic Church. So much so that it appears to be widely noticed throughout the world. That was a gentleman named Robert Stevenson Padrone. Similar results throughout all of Europe. It's mind-boggling. But I want to turn right now to the United States. I don't want to fill you up with all kinds of like numbers and statistics and stuff, but this is so remarkable. You have to know this. You have to know this. And even if you're not Catholic, this is a phenomenon that is spreading throughout the world. This is a Christian thing. And I'll talk a little bit more about Catholicism in a little bit. But rejoice in the fact that people are seeking out Jesus, seeking out community and the hope that comes in community. And this is for you too, not just Catholics, because this should encourage everyone who's Christian about what's going on with the Holy Spirit. So anyway, I just want to give you a sampling of some things that happened here in the United States. I don't want to bore you with numbers, but this is really too good to ignore, and we all need to be aware of it. It gives us such courage and excitement and hope, okay? So there were various polls and information seeking going on because things had been starting to happen prior to the Easter season. So a lot of organizations that track these sort of things sent out information requests from various dioceses on what happened during your Easter season, your Easter weekend. And so nationwide, new members, not just people returning, but new members increased in many dioceses by 30 to over 70% since Easter of 2023. That is so remarkable. Many dioceses by 30 to over 70% since Easter of 2023. Okay, and I want to give you some of those diocese numbers before my break. Fort Worth, Texas, up 72%. They went from 896 new members, converts, in 2023 to 1,544 in 2024, 72% increase. Now, there's skeptics out there, and they go, oh, 72%. Well, that means that, only 10 people joined last year, so this year it's so many. No. It's significant numbers, all right? Lansing, Michigan, up 30%. Over 2023, the highest number in more than a decade, more than the last 10 years. The Diocese of Marquette, Michigan, up 70%. Nebraska and Maine, both of them, up 35%. The Diocese of Des Moines, Iowa, up 87%. And then close by here, the Diocese of Trenton, New Jersey, 53% over 2023. These are new converts to the church. This is not increase in attendance. This is converts. And the attendance was remarkable as well in all these archdioceses and dioceses. So, I mean, it's amazing. The Diocese of Trenton, New Jersey, up 53% in converts since last Easter, a year ago. Los Angeles, California. Previously unbaptized seekers receiving baptism in the Catholic Church increased 19%, the highest since 2019. It increased 19% in Los Angeles. Baptized people who joined the Catholic Church who weren't Catholic before, that was up tremendously as well. I don't have that statistic. New Orleans, Louisiana, up 48%. These are not made up fictitious numbers, folks. These are the real thing, and it's all God's doing. Okay, he's calling people to him. He's saying enough. Of all this hatred and violence and wishy-washiness and up and down, this is good today, that's good tomorrow, this kind of thing. Knoxville, Tennessee, Shout out to my nephews who live in Knoxville. God bless you both, Kevin and Jeff. Almost 40% of new converts to the Catholic Church since 2023. Almost all the U.S. dioceses that have reported so far have had remarkable increases in church attendance over the Easter holiday, outstanding, many record-breaking attendance, and also record, not necessarily record-breaking, but profound increases in converts to the Catholic faith, which just basically means people saying, I want to be Christian, and I want to be in the Catholic Church. Okay. When I became Catholic, I had to talk to my Baptist parents about it. I said, Mom, you know me. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I would never walk away from Jesus. I would never do anything that hurt Jesus. I just joined a different church, and I'm happy as can be in this church. It's astounding. And then I went on, and she calmed down, and I went on to share with her over the years Catholic teachings and some of the things that I had learned and the truths I experienced and the joy. And she really opened up to it. She never became Catholic, but she wasn't worried about me anymore because I was still Christian, and I was a very happy Christian. And so I'm going to be taking a break in a minute, and I want to come back and talk to you about a number of things about Easter. And I want to share with you, some of these people were interviewed. Why? Why did they join the church? Why do they believe in Jesus now? Why are they interested in becoming Christian? All right? It's important to know these things. Okay? So please stick with me. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in a little bit after the break, and we'll go on talking about this remarkable outpouring of the Holy Spirit around the world. Stick with me. God bless.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. I hope you had a little chance to get a little something to drink or a little snack, or you're driving home and stuck it out with me. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, and this is the hour that I have been asked to host every Monday at 5 o'clock. It's I named the show Duke and Altum, Go Out into the Deep. One of the things I love about the Catholic Church is that there are infinite treasures to help us grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We have history, we have obviously the Word of God, we have saints that have been used by God in remarkable ways throughout the history of the church. We can study their lives. We have documents and writings that I didn't even know existed from the time of the apostles. And you can study those. It's just a prayer life. Everything is just a treasury of joy to in the Catholic Church to explore all the wonderful things about Jesus and about life with him. We've been talking about the remarkable outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the world over the Easter, last week in the Easter Triduum, which is Holy Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then, of course, Sunday. Saturday evening is considered the beginning of the Easter day holiday. So anyway, we've been talking about all these people that have really, like this guy who was in interviewed said, a flood of new converts, a flood of people coming to church over that holiday. And it can only be by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit, speaking to the hearts of people. But they interviewed some of these new converts and people, Muslims and people who had never really been Christian and didn't know much about Jesus. And it was like, what caused you to make this dramatic change in your life? And so I wanted to share with you a few of the things that I heard. And a lot of them were disillusioned and fed up with the cultural things that are going on right now around the world, such as this wokeness. You know, one day this is okay to believe or think, and you know, down the road, it's anathema. It's horrible. You know, this is the new thing to focus on, the canceling of people as if, you're these great wise sages that are better than anybody else, so you can cancel people and not listen to them even, or ask, well, why do you believe this, or why do you think this way? No respect for differing opinions. The denial of any kind of absolute truth. You know, even science is not absolute truth. It has it's ever changing. It grows. It expands with knowledge and understanding, you know. So, just so much wishy-washy and up and down and all around and nothing solid to hold on to. And a lot of them complained about that. They were tired of all of the anger and frustration and sadness, you know, sadness in the world. And they heard that there's a better way. And there's a reason that Jesus is called the rock in Scripture. The rock. God the Father, the rock. And there's a reason for that. And I want to share with you from Scriptures. Jesus said this himself. So it's from Matthew, the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Most of you have heard this, but you may not have, in recent years, really embraced the significance of what he's saying here. So here it is. This is Jesus speaking now, not me, not even an apostle. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house. But it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine, but does not act on them, will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined. He's speaking about when we believe him, we listen to his words in the Gospels and in Scripture. Even in the Old Testament, we listen to his words, we believe them, we act on them, and we try to live on them. It becomes a solid, strong rock in our lives. The winds blow, you know, the wokeness blows here and there, various religions blow here and there, all this, you know, pain and suffering blows here and there, challenges, ups and downs, everything blows, the rain comes, the sadness comes, we're buffeted around, life is not easy, right? But by being united with Jesus, trusting him, clinging to him, believing in him, through, you know, having prayer, going to Mass, reading the Gospels, reading Scripture, studying the Word, you know, living in union with him in the church. We are like, he says, wise persons who build their house on rocks, the house of our spiritual life. We get buffeted around. Life isn't easy. But with him as our rock, we stand. And I can tell you from my own experience and from the experience of basically everyone I know who is a believing, practicing Catholic Christian, or Christian in another faith, in another church, not another faith, a Christian, my brothers and sisters in other Christian churches, the ones who stand on the rock, make it through, persevere, and are actually stronger afterwards than they were before the trials and the buffeting and the rain and the storms. All right? And those who listen to the words of Jesus, but don't act on them, are like fools who built their house on sand. He's not saying that people who don't believe, who really know what Christianity teaches, what he teaches. He's not saying that people that don't really know are fools. He's talking about the people who have heard, they've listened, they've pondered, they've understood what it's all about, but they turned away. Then life hits them, and life without Jesus is very, very sad. Very sad. It's heartbreaking, actually. I've lived without him. I know what I'm talking about. But thank God I was called back to him, and here I am. Who in the world would have ever known that I would be here? But these converts, these people around the world, especially the ones who've never heard of Jesus Christ or know very little about him, and have come to that rock, that stability, that purpose. Jesus has a way. He has truth. And those things lead to a phenomenal life. Okay? And so they sought him out. But why did they become Catholic? The church, the Catholic Church, has stood the test of time. There's been bad popes, bad Catholic Christians. There's been bad bishops and priests and religious and, you know, a lot of good times and bad times throughout church history. But the church has stood the test of time. Jesus protects it and the truths within it in an extraordinary way. And yeah, sometimes things get really, really bad, but it perseveres. I remember when Cardinal Ratzinger had been elected Pope, and he, you know, was dressed to greet the people there at St. Peter's Square. And I can't remember which cardinal it was that came out with him onto the balcony and was part of the group of cardinals who came to announce Habemus Papus, we have a new pope, and he's chosen the name Benedict. So out walks this humble, wonderful man. And this cardinal said that he looked out at the masses of people rejoicing because there was a new pope, a new leader of the Catholic Church. And he said, I looked around Rome and I saw the ruins of all these great civilizations and other faiths. And he said, I was overwhelmed with the joy of the fact that the church is still here, the Catholic Church is still here, after all those other things have passed away. So these converts have seen that, they've understood it, and they've believed it, and they wanted it. So number one thing is Jesus Christ, over and above everything. The number two thing is church. I happen to believe that the Catholic Church has the fullness of truth, not just some of it, but the fullness of it. My non-Catholic brothers and sisters who are Christians have a great deal of the truth. I used to be one of them, and I'm grateful for what I received in those churches. But I'm telling you, the richness, the treasures here. But I wanted to share that with you because it's a remarkable, in my opinion, miracle that's happened around the world. And it's still ongoing. And I want to say to you that if you went to church again this Easter after a long absence, or just because it was Easter or you were curious or whatever, I want to ask you with my whole heart to give regular Sunday church attendance another chance. Just try it. I think you will be very glad that you did. And Jesus will be very thrilled to give you extraordinary grace for giving it a try. Hang in there. If you end up in a church that is, you know, you have bad memories from before, or it just doesn't seem right for you, try another Catholic church down the road, you know. But don't jump around trying to find a church that's going to say that everything that in the world is A-OK with us. No, there's truths in the church that need to be addressed in all of our lives. We are all dealing with truth. And so give it a chance. Give it a chance. Use this wonderful grace that's been poured out on the church to go and be involved. Give it a chance. Okay? Anyway, what I would like to do is to talk a little bit more about Easter before I have to go. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. I want to pray with you the Collect Prayer, which is at the beginning of Mass on Easter morning. And I want to pray it because it's really beautiful, and I would like for you to take it to heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, may your people exult forever, O God, in renewed youthfulness of spirit. I'm going to say that again. May your people exult forever, O God, in renewed youthfulness of spirit, so that, rejoicing now in the restored glory of our adoption, we may look forward in confident hope to the rejoicing of the day of resurrection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. I have to pray it again. Please listen with your heart. May your people exult forever, O God, in renewed youthfulness of spirit, so that rejoicing now in the restored glory of our adoption, we may look forward in confident hope to the rejoicing of the day of resurrection. Or you can even change it to say the rejoicing of our day of a resurrection. This year we have been renewed. There's been a renewed youthfulness of the Spirit poured out upon the world. Let us rejoice in that. And rejoice in our adoption as children of God. As children of God. I mean, this is not a little thing, okay? But, you know, it's a major thing. And I want to encourage you. I have another proposal. If you, in addition to, if you went to church, regardless of your motivation, give it a chance and go back again during these next few weeks, at least during the Easter season, and hear the good news over and over again. And give it a chance. Give Jesus a chance to work in your heart and draw you closer to him. Okay? The next proposal that I have is let us take all this good news that we've learned today, and I'm sure the good news that you've heard otherwise. I'm not the only person that has heard good news during this Easter season. Along with the extraordinary grace that we have received during the Lenten and Easter season, and pray for a truly renewed youthfulness of spirit in our own lives, like a renewal of spirit in our own lives. Let this good news cheer us. Let it lift us up. Let it give us confidence, not in ourselves, but in the Spirit of God who moves and goes wherever he wills, who wants to give us the abundant life. He wants us to know him. He wants us to live with joy in spite of what's going on in the world. And let it give us the ability, the desire to truly live our faith. There's hope. Do not fret, my children. There is always hope. Our Lady has said that over and over again. But I have to say, I would be remiss if I didn't share with those of you who are hurting and suffering a little something to cheer you on. Because life isn't always full of joy and good news. So I want to share this with you. It is a quote from St. Pope John Paul II, I call him Papa John Paul, about Easter. He said it was actually done in the fall, but it is an Easter message. It says, we do, and this is my heart too. When I speak with such joy, it's because I've learned how you go through these difficulties, severe, horrible things that happen in life, and come through on the other side and see where Jesus was present to you. I've learned it myself, and that's why I can have joy even in the sorrows. Okay? And so he says here, let this speak to your heart, folks. Do not pretend that life is all beauty. We are aware of darkness and sin, of poverty and pain. But we do know that Jesus has conquered sin and passed through his own pain to the glory of the resurrection. And we live in the light of his paschal mystery, the mystery of his death and resurrection. We are an Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. We are not looking for a shallow joy, but rather a joy that comes from faith, that grows through unselfish love, that respects the fundamental duty of love of neighbor, without which it would be unbecoming to speak of joy. I'm going to read it to you again because it is a powerful message to those of you who are hurting, challenged, and don't know which way to go. We do not pretend that life is all beauty. We are aware of darkness and sin, of poverty and pain. But we know Jesus has conquered sin and passed through his own pain to the glory of the resurrection. And we live in the light of his paschal mystery, the mystery of his death and resurrection. We are an Easter people, and alleluia is our song. We are not looking for a shallow joy, but rather a joy that comes from faith, that grows through unselfish love, that respects the fundamental duty of love of neighbor, without which it would be unbecoming to speak of joy. Jesus said himself, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He said, I am with you always. He does not go away. I'm going to read to you another scripture passage. It's from the book of Romans, chapter 8. You've all heard this, I'm sure, but I want you to hear it again because it goes right along with this Easter miracle in my mind. Romans 8, 28 through 39. We know that all things work for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. We know that all things, this is St. Paul speaking, work together to good for those who love God, even the bad things. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that, I wanted to do that part, but then we got to go on down here, I'm sorry, to verse 37, no, in all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. All these difficulties. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, no matter how challenging, no matter how hopeless, can separate us from Jesus Christ. On the darkest day, our darkest time, 3 days of world history, when after Jesus died on the cross, the whole world was in darkness. Yet, God was still present in all of that, still active in all of that, making miracles in all of that. Okay? And then came the resurrection. The resurrection would healed all suffering and death of its power over us, because we can be made new in our baptism and united with Jesus Christ and be filled with grace and power and hope and the ability by that grace to face all that life throws at us. All that life throws at us. And come out on the other side. I have a, you know me, with Mother Teresa, I want to quick share this with you. It's a quote from her. Remembering that the passion of Christ, his suffering, ends always in the joy of the resurrection of Christ. So when you feel in your own heart the suffering of Christ, your own suffering united with him, remember the resurrection has to come. The joy of Easter has to dawn. Never let anything so fill you with sorrow as to make you forget the joy of the risen Christ. Don't forget that. Never let anything so fill you with sorrow as to make you forget the joy of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I have to go pretty soon. And so I will continue some Easter meditations next Monday. Please join me next Monday at 5 o'clock for Duke and Altum, going deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ into the abundant life. I will leave you with a prayer for Easter renewal. Please pray for me, and I will pray, of course, for you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. That's Psalms 51. Look it up, Psalms 51. Pray that during this Easter season. God bless you. I'll see you next week. Take care.